I have a wonderful and awesome opportunity to talk to you briefly about how God has designed each of us with purpose, with intent. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is when God created you, he had something in mind. Man, that to me, that is so awesome. He had something in mind. And what he had in mind was worship, that God would fellowship with man, and he would do so through the intimacy of worship. Listen to this scripture in John 4. The Bible says, and I'm reading out of the NIV, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, the Bible says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So, listen, what this says to me is that there are two dynamics at work here. That God, being a spirit, seeks intimate relationship with his creation, that being you and I, and that he also has a platform, if you will, and that platform is truth. That there are principles by which and boundaries and laws, if you will. And I don't, when I say law, I'm not referring to the law, as in the commandments or anything like that. But I mean that there are principles and there are certainties. There are things that you can be certain of, like what if you throw something up in the air, it's going to come down. That kind of thing. That we operate within those principles and within those laws, and we fulfill our purpose within those boundaries, those principles, and those laws that he has established. And it's to our benefit to do so. And it's so much easier if you are obedient to God, because worship is about, I mean, we think about it, a bird. When a bird is singing in the tree, when it's flapping its wing and it's gliding through the air, that's worship, because it is doing that thing that God purposed it to do, God intended for it to do. It brings glory to God. It brings that that unique and beautiful gift that God has given it to creation for all of us to enjoy. And so God is a spirit, and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. We don't see him, but we see the effects of his presence. And so what does that mean? It means that if we worship him in spirit and in truth, we worship him for what he has done. We worship God for what he has done, and we worship him for his why, W-H-Y, or in other words, for his why he does what he does, even if we don't understand, because his why is a reflection of his who or his person. I mean, we do what we do because of who we are. What we do comes out of who we are. And so we even when we don't understand God's why, we worship him. So we worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth is that God is creator, and we see the manifestation of that. We see the manifestation of his truths, that the things that he set in place, so that when you, if we're disobedient, and we come against some principle that God has put in place, we deal with the consequences of that. And his truth doesn't change. It won't change for me. It won't change for anybody. One of the truths that God has set in place, he says that whatever a man sows, that he reaps. And in Genesis, he set that in place, that whatever you put in the ground, that grows out of its own kind. If you put an apple seed in the ground, an apple tree grows. I mean, so those things don't change. And when we go against those things, then we have to deal with the consequences of that. And it takes us out of outside of our purpose, because God put those boundaries and he put those principles and he put those things in place so that as we live in our lives, our worship toward him, our lives, whatever God created you for, like I said, you were purposed by design. God had something in mind when he created you. You're not an accident. God put you here on purpose. And if he put you here on purpose, he put you here for a purpose. And we can say in general, he put us here for fellowship, and that we worship him. But specifically, each of us has something out of which we worship God. We've been given different gifts and talents and different things that make us uniquely who we are. So we are always in the process of becoming, you know. And you might say, well, Pastor, becoming what? Becoming you. He that has began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. If you're still breathing, if you still have a heartbeat and a pulse, listen, God is not done with you. He's still working on you, through you, and for you. So God designed us with the purpose of worship. So it would be in our best interest then to constantly seek clarification. When you get to, I guess we call it getting to know somebody. And you want to constantly seek clarification. The more you get to know God, the more you get to know why you're here, what your purpose is, what your design is, what's your raison d'etre? That's what the French would say. What my raison d'etre is, my purpose for being is. And there is a path to that wisdom. There's a path to knowing and experiencing the fulfillment of purpose. And the only way to do that, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, Hosea, he coined the phrase, he said it this way. He says, we must follow on to know him. In order to truly know God, you've got to be in relationship with him. And remember, getting to know God means that you're getting to know who you are supposed to be, why he put you here, what your design is, what your purpose is. So we're constantly seeking clarification. You don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I had this epiphany. Now I know what my purpose is and you're done. No. Clarification is a journey. You follow on to know him. You get to know him. It's just like I've been married to my wife now for 33 years, and I'm telling you, I'm still getting to know her after 33 years. I think the other day someone said something about a certain dish, and I said, oh, I think I'd like that. And she said, my wife said to me, I didn't know you like that. And we've been married for 33 years. So we follow on to get to know each other. And the more we know God, the more we know about our purpose. And we know we can experience, rather, the fulfillment of that purpose. So, and this is the way I see it. You go from clarification to declaration. See, the more it becomes clear to you who God is and who you are and why you're here, the more you are able to confidently declare him and to declare your purpose. So you confidently declare the true and living God, and you get to confidently declare who you are in him. I have confidence. I know my purpose. It empowers me because I know why I'm here. So, you know, there may be some dissenters. There may be some people who might say, well, you're not that good at that, or you may be not, you can't do that as well as this person, or you're not this, or you're not doing this, and somebody who would do this would be that, or, you know, and they say all these things, but I know because I followed on to know the Lord, and as more I know him, the clearer my purpose becomes. No matter what you say, you can't push me off of the of that path. I know who I am because I know who he is. So, and listen, if you don't know who you are, you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing. See, you people will say to you, maybe because there's something broken in you, and you're a believer, and you truly love God, but there's something broken in you, and you're seeking clarification. You're looking to deal with that, whatever that issue is. And someone might say, well, you have that going on, or this is happening in your life. Well, you're not a Christian. And man, that's very discouraging to hear somebody say that. And the first thing you'd be down on, you think, oh man, maybe they're right or whatever. But if you stay following after Christ and you know that you're blood bought, that Jesus paid the price, he paid the debt that you could not pay for your sin. And no matter what they say, you're going to know who you are. You're going to know who you are. You're not going to, no matter what, how many dissenters there are, it doesn't matter how many of them that say it. When I know that I know. So, and the only way to get to that place and to have that confidence is to follow on to know him. And there are some, now there are paths to witnesses, I mean, to wisdom. But then there are also roads that will lead in your pursuit of life, and to know that purpose and that wisdom that often can lead you away from the path to wisdom. And one of the roads is, like, I remember Paul saying in Romans, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, they had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. In other words, people can be sincere in their pursuit, but they can be sincerely wrong. They're sincere about what they're doing, but not according to knowledge. See, you need to follow on to know the Lord, know him in spirit and in truth, know God's truth, know his precepts, know sound doctrine. Don't be moved by any blowing of the wind and fancy music and fancy words these contrived formulas for riches and for all of this other stuff. Man, when you follow on to know God, you get to know that your value goes beyond material wealth, that your purpose is not to get a new car, your purpose is not to be going after material things, but you follow on to know him, that having a relationship with Christ, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of you. He said, birds don't worry about it. Foxes don't worry about it. Listen, flowers, he says, nobody can be adorned as beautifully as they are. And yet they don't give thought to how they're going to look. And we marvel at their beauty and at the essence of their smell, their fragrance. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you can be sincere, but you need sound doctrine. He says true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. So as you seek purpose, as you begin to be fulfilled in that and follow after the Lord, make sure that in your sincerity, in your zeal, that everything is founded on sound doctrine. That you have zeal, and that your zeal is contextualized by knowledge. That when you operate, you know what you're talking about. That you have sound doctrine. And secondly, when if you don't go down the path to fulfillment and purpose by following on to know God, another road that you can get lost on is I see it in Ephesians 1 and 18. And this is where Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. See, he says, I want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. In other words, you can have knowledge. You can have knowledge, but not according to understanding. Just like you can be sincerely wrong, you can also be successfully wrong. And what do you mean by that, Pastor? What I'm saying is this, that I know people who get it right, but they're getting it right for all the wrong reasons. In other words, why you could have this knowledge, but are you and is your effort to share, is it because you want to show people how much you know, or is it because you want to demonstrate or flaunt your knowledge? Or Paul said, I want you to have the eyes of your understanding enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What is the reason? What is the reason behind this? What is God's why? In other words, what is the hope of his calling? What is his why? It's the and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. See, what is this all about? What is God's why then? Is it for you to get? The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You see, that's what Paul is trying to say. He's saying, I would that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. You could have knowledge. But do you know the why? Do you know why we're doing this? Do you know why? Do you know that you could give your body to be burned, but if you ain't got love, it doesn't mean a thing? Do you know that? I saw this one graphic image where the point that they were trying to get across was that in this generation, we have just become so selfish that in the graphic, it was an image of a man taking a selfie as he handed a homeless person on the ground a dollar, and he was taking a selfie of himself so that he could post it and show everybody what he was doing. I mean, do you know God's why? Is that okay? Is it okay for us, I mean, to live our lives so that we have all of this knowledge and we spend our time beating people down with it rather than lifting them up with it? That, you know, I would rather prove to you that I'm right than to demonstrate the righteousness of God. I want to prove to you that you're wrong. Your understanding of this is wrong. You got this wrong. You got. No, I want you to understand that the most important thing is that you become the righteousness of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not that I'm right. I would much rather be wrong and for you to be saved than for me to be right and for you to be lost. If I have to be wrong for you to be saved, if I have to say, you know what, my bad, you got it. If I have to take the low road, it doesn't even matter, because the bottom line is I win, my brother. So we want to know that God, we want to know his why. So my brothers and sisters, we serve a God who wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. So do you see him? Do you see his hand? Do you see the affects of his spirit? And do you worship him in his beauty and his glory, fulfilling your purpose by design? God bless you.